of the covenant. They were chosen people. In fact, they even had a sign in their flesh. Every male child was circumcised, a sign in the flesh. And there were times when they would search for that to see, are you of the covenant people? Are you of truth or are you of error? And if they were of error, the one instance especially, they slaughtered many, many people. They're chosen. They have the law. They have the law. The Torah is found in the Hebrew Bible, understand. I did find that out. But it's not in my English Bible that I've seen, or not in the version that I was searching in anyway. Maybe it is in some of the modern ones. Probably is. And they have the law. They have instructions. They have truth. They have an understanding. And they have law. And God is the base of everything that they were. Truth. How can there be truth if there is no base, if there's no foundation, if there is, and there can't be, right? We know that. We see all around us. We see it in our own lives, don't we? When we start living just by the things we see. If we went by the things we see this morning, or the things we hear, the things we feel, touch, and taste. For by without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because have you ever seen God with your physical eyes? Have you ever seen God by tasting Him or touching Him? Like we do the food that we have prepared for us, being prepared for us right now. Okay, we talked about kingship, we talked about His kingly ways, which is grace, right? I don't know if you remember these things. We talked about principles in the kingdom, we talked about one of the things I want to talk about someday, or somebody will, is on discipleship, and today it's on how to distinguish truth from grace. The Philistines were infidels. They did not believe in the one and only true creator God. They had open animosity. They were enemies, and if you just bear with me, in the New Testament, we were enemies in our minds, right? The senses of our own lives, we were at enmity with God. They were violent in their opposition. They were violent in their opposition. Their outer expression was visible. And by nature, we were children of wrath, even as others. There's Goliath. He had some brothers, too. And one brother had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. That's extreme. The truth goes to the error often goes into extremity. They were shrewd. They were the people of the skilled trades. Let's not be servants of the Hebrews like they are to us, because they had the skilled trades, and the Hebrews would go down there to get. Maybe that reminds us too of sometimes I don't know how you are, but there are times that I listen to unbelievers. I listen closely to unbelievers because I hear the Spirit of God saying to me, listen. I even get rebuked by unbelievers, but I listen for the Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to get to this morning. How do you distinguish between the truth and the error? And it's really, really important. And there is a way. There was a time I could... Psalm 34, another Philistine king there, and David played the fool before this king and escaped with his life. Fools in the kingdom. So we have the war, we have warfare secrets, and then we have our commander's example. So we have three things. So how do we know that the truth and are sure of it? This is the war, right? This is the war. This is where the war is at. The battle line is set. There's the army at Aphek. The Philistines are Aphek. They're 4 miles away. At Ebenezer, hitherto had the Lord helped them, and they were so confident. The Lord was their help, had helped them up to this point, and they were like, We're good. And then the battle lines draw tight together and the battle starts. And who flees sometimes? Sometimes do you find yourself there where it's you fleeing? You know that God's word is truth. You know that you have been saved, or you know what the truth is, and you know that this shouldn't have happened, and it causes you to back up and say, and what happened? So the Israelites have the Torah, they have the covenant, but the Israelites have defeat. Error number one, they went alone. Israel went alone to that battle. At the end of the story, we see God was not with them. Do you know that God is with you? Do you know that? Are you hearing from God? Number two, error number two, the natural mind. The Philistines, in verse 2, were overcome. We are overcome when we go alone and we think by our five senses. We just simply think that it has to be this way because of maybe something in the past. Ebenezer, God was there with me in the past. But we didn't this morning maybe ask God for a specific word. There are times in my own experience where I know that morning I asked God for very specifically. I said, Father, just guide me. Show me today what to do when. Because there are most of the time I don't know what to do. I'm a type of person who has five things going at once. And if you'll see how I even study like that, I even this morning, if I lose my notes like I did once, I have other ways, but that's me, and I'm not proud of it. But that's who I am. I'm not proud of it because I know that the best way to speak is if you make it as clear and simple as possible. So I keep asking Father. I said, Father, my gift, I understand my gift, but you need to change me. You need to change this because this is really important for these really precious people. Because these people have come out and need their faith to grow, and they want their faith to grow, and they need to know the difference between truth and error. We need to know. So error number two is that we go on our own. We go in with the natural mind. We think we're just going to be okay today. Naturally speaking, we're just going to be okay. God was with me in the past. He's going to be with me. We say, well, that's faith, but sometimes it isn't. Sometimes just our natural mind. Error number three, we blame God and we retreat. In retreat, they said, why does the Lord allow us to be defeated by our five senses? Huh? No, not what he said, but that's what went on, right? He's teaching us a lesson. We're not living by faith. We're living by the sight of our eyes and the work of our hands. Number four. Error number four. We think sometimes maybe if we just do the right ordinances at the right time, we get the ark. We know that God has something really good in communion. We know that God does something really good at baptism. And we think if we just do those things, if we do those things just in our senses, and we know that our faith has not come, we're just making an error. What is wrong with the Ark of the Covenant? It had not changed. The change is left to God. You know, sometimes that's hard for us to do, is just let God do the work at the time he wants to do the work. We want the work done now. We need the work done now. It seems the battle is in front of us. But we haven't called, or we go on our senses. We are faithless, prayerless, and herein is the how. Three ways to be confident that we heard from God and not our senses. Three ways to hear from God. We need to hear from God. How can we hear from God? Number one, we have the Word of God. The Israelites knew they had the instructions from God. They knew the law. They even had Samuel who had come up among them and was able to speak the Word. He did that, it says, if you read the fine print, he said he did it with authority. He was a man who heard the Word of God and could speak it with authority and give them instructions. He was a priest, he was a judge, and he was also a prophet. So they had the ability to hear the Word of God. But we have number one, we have the tenor of Scripture. Does what you are trying to sort through, how does it compare to the Scriptures? If it's black and white in the Scriptures, are you willing to accept what black and white says? Number two, who authored this word? And I was pondering something this morning, maybe while we're sitting here, and I'm like, is that word for me? Is that not for me? And it was from the scriptures, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for instruction, that the man of God might become mature, to a mature man. The Holy Spirit authored the book, and he can interpret his word to us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Therefore, he does not contradict himself. If you want a word from God this morning, and it's not the same as is in his word, you know that you're contradicting him. You know that we know this morning that we can't go by the five senses. We might have some brilliant light flashing or some great experience, but check it with the word of God. I'm not against those things, by the way. I love when Father gives somebody a vision. And I think it's awesome when there's a tongue. But you know, you check out when you're to use your tongues this morning. It's very clear in the scripture, and I don't have to tell you. I want you to check it out. I want you to go searching in his word to see if you're thinking correctly. Because you can distinguish between truth and error if you will get into his word and you'll believe it for what it says. You'll trust the Holy Spirit. There are some counterfeits. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet. How can we be confident? By taking the lamp to our feet. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In the story we had this morning, there were some counterfeits. There are counterfeits out there even in our day. There were soothsayers. People, and today, people read the tea leaves. Did you ever do that as a child? You were drinking tea and the tea leaves that were there, and you were making things up as people read the tea leaves seriously. Or horoscopes, looking for some direction in their life outside of the Word of God, outside of the Spirit of God. They are in darkness, and men stumble in darkness and are defeated. So number two, the confirmation of circumstances. So number one, we had the confirmation of the inspired word. You want to know if it's the voice of God, is it confirmed by God's word? Number two, does God confirm it by other circumstances? There is a beautiful story, and actually this week, my wife and I had some questions, and we felt the Spirit of God say, don't do this, and then do this. And in the middle of going to the second way, there was complete confirmation in my heart, because it was like too many events came together at the same time in the right way that nobody else knew about, but we did. And we said that was confirmation from God. There's a story in the scriptures in Jeremiah 32, 6 through 9. Jeremiah has a land purchase. A messenger comes to Jeremiah in prison saying, your cousin Hamamel, son of Hallam, will come and say to you, buy my field at Anathoth, where he lived. He came from Anathoth, I think. But Jeremiah is in prison. And this guy is saying, you should go buy your cousin's field. But he's in prison. Why would he need a field in prison? Furthermore, Jeremiah the prophet knows what's going down. This city of Jerusalem is heading for destruction. He knows there's 70 years. There's going to be 70 years of captivity. And here it comes. The land is going. However, his cousin Hamamel, his cousin then, he's in prison. Somebody tells him, your cousin has a field to sell. You should buy it. The Lord had told him to buy the field. And then his cousin shows up and says, hey, I want you to buy my field. The cousin didn't know that God spoke to Jeremiah. The cousin didn't know that another prophet spoke to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah took it as the word of God. And he knew it was confirmed. Sometimes we need to look for confirmation instead of rushing hastily. If you don't hear a confirmation in your spirit, you don't hear a confirmation and you want to go after this or that, go cautiously. You may be living by your five senses. I could tell you another story. And maybe I will. 1988, I was praying before supper time. And may I say this story, Sandra? I don't need to. I was praying before supper time. And I felt God speaking to my heart. And it, to me, it was, I heard a voice. And I heard a voice, the voice of God assuring me as a single young man that a particular young lady by name would come into my life, would be in my life. And maybe that's easy. You think I'm just living by my senses. But I had confirmation again and again after that. You could take a sale of a house. Maybe you see a house that you think that you should buy. And you go to the place and you say, hey, would you be willing to sell your house? And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just thinking about putting it on the market. And confirmation that, yes, Father wants you to buy the house. Number three, there is such a thing as an umpire. In the game of baseball, the umpire's job is, and doesn't it make you angry when they do it wrong? When they call strikes in their balls, and it's your favorite team at bat, doesn't that just burn your biscuits? Doesn't that just make you upset that they would? But that's what they're, by the umpire of God's peace. And God doesn't play those games with us, or he doesn't walk in error like umpires do. But the job of the umpire is to be, to give you, this is it. This is the way it went down. And just the way it is. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ, in Amplified it says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him. And that's what I heard the Spirit speaking to me as I was studying the scripture. Be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. Umpires, say what's right and wrong. So if you have no peace, again, I say, don't act hastily, but act in caution. Be on guard. Wait till you have peace. So the three factors combined: peace, yes or no. Can you be thankful with the answer? And is God's word dwelling within you? And sometimes we know. If you're like me, there are times you know that you didn't even check. You didn't even consult with the word of God. You didn't ask him that question. And therefore you wonder why you're waiting on the answer. But if God's peace comes, the three things, if it lines up with God's word, if he confirms it in only ways that he can, and you hear, you know it's the Spirit of God, and that you have peace. God's peace is with you. You can walk confidently. What is the result of hearing God's word? This is the secrets of warfare. What are the results of hearing God's word? In verses 13 through 22 is the scripture there. What is the secrets? Results of Israel's battle in not hearing is there was defeat, was loss, was the death of Eli's sons. And Eli's daughter-in-law said, Ichabod, she said the truth. She said, the glory is departed. The empty ark is captured. What is the result of hearing God's voice? What comes by hearing God's word? It comes by hearing God's word. Faith comes. What comes by hearing God's word? Faith comes by hearing God's word. See, faith comes. Sometimes we just know what we pray for, and we desire simply have faith in God. We have to have faith that we could walk in this way or that. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice it comes to you. Don't live without it. Don't live without it. Faith comes by hearing the spoken word. And we're going to talk a little bit about, there's two different Greek words for word. And it's really important that the spoken word of God, we gladly read the word of God. And many times we open up his word. Even this morning, I opened up God's word and we were confident. And as we were listening to God's word, you know that faith can come by hearing that word. I trust your faith was just being built up, and you were looking for some truth in there, or some, where is the truth, and what's the difference between the two, and how can this story benefit my life? But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by His word. Faith comes by hearing the spoken word. Faith comes by the word quickened by the Spirit of God. Romans, I was going to say 8:17, but I think it's 10:10 says this. I picture the word quickened like this. Quickening is like giving life. The Holy Spirit takes His word, you're reading His word, and all of a sudden it's like you never saw that before. That actually particularly goes directly to what I've been thinking of doing, or where I should go, or what I should do, or how I should think of something. Or you're going throughout your day, it's like the Holy Spirit takes a fence post. You know those fence posts that are quickened or sharpened? Yesterday the pounder was going at my neighbor's, and I went over to see, and he was pounding in these posts. But if they're quick, those posts are quickened, they'll go in very, very well. They'll sink into our own lives very carefully and very quickly. But if the word is quickened by the Spirit, it takes root, takes hold. These two words are the Logos, which is the eternal. I love this. I love this definition. The eternal, divine, unchanging counsel of God, which is settled forever in heaven. In the beginning was the Word, right? Unchanged counsel of God, forever settled. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, which no man can fully comprehend, can we? And then there's the other word, which is the word that you need for your daily life, and the word is rhema. The word that is spoken to us by God individually and personally. See, we know that in Matthew 4, when Jesus was tempted by Satan, He left us a strong example. He left us a wonderful example, and He said that man shall not live by bread alone. Satan said, hey, take these, you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. In fact, so much so, at a fast of 40 days, your body is decaying, at the point of decay. All the extra fat is used up, I understand, and there's decay setting, death is starting to set in. So the temptation was real. It was enormous temptation. And Jesus tells us how to handle those things. And He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Yes, we live by bread. This physical body lives by bread. We take in bread. We eat food, and it strengthens us, and we must do that, or we will die. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how important your spiritual life is. If you want to know the difference between truth and error, and you will walk like that, you will consume His word, you'll listen for His word, you'll ask Him for His word. You will get a specific word, and that word, like I said, that word's going to line up with the Scriptures. That word's going to line up by confirmation again and again. That word is simply going to bring peace to your heart. You know that the Spirit of God has given you bread from heaven, life. Yes, we know that the truth is in Jesus, but this is how it actually works. This is how this becomes real in our life. That is awesome. That I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and He will put a word, a personal word, into my life that I can do the right thing at the right time. I can know that over there is wrong. That's of my five senses, or that's of the Philistines. That's going to bring me defeat. And I wonder, I'm walking over here and I'm feeling in my spirit, I'm not feeling the peace. I don't feel the peace of Christ. I don't feel the peace of God umping. I know that is an error. So I take again, I go back and I receive His word and I listen closely and I come in prayer. And I'm like, Lord, what do You want? You're my Lord. You're also my Savior. What do You want? What do You have to say? It's a personal word. You must have a personal word to stay alive. And you can. There are no superheroes in the kingdom. We have friends who, just because of life's events, it seems like they know friends who are lifted up. And we've had that in my own experience, where I looked up to somebody, and something went sideways, and you figured out really soon how genuine I was, didn't we? We figured that out. There's a personal word for each one of us, every single one. That, as I was studying, I was just rejoicing in that glorious truth. It's not just for Alvin the preacher. No, it's not just for the old people who studied for years and years, not just for the new believer, it's for every single one. It's every single one of us. How does it come? It comes by the Spirit. How does it come? It comes by the Holy Spirit. In fact, as I started studying this, I printed out the NLT version of YouVersion, and I started looking, and as I was carefully looking, and the Spirit of God was just directing my heart, I was making notes, and I have those notes here, actually, right here. And I was looking at how can I understand, because in this Bible, on these pages, is the word we say is the Word of God. But this is just pages. This is just pages, and these are just black marks. If you couldn't read this book, if this book was in the wrong language, that's all it would be to you, right? It would be nothing else. This book, without the sharpening of the Spirit of God, is just that. It's just a book with some ink, and it means nothing. How does it come? It comes by the Holy Spirit. Your Bible is not a good luck charm. Years ago, and maybe you were involved in this, I remember somebody who would get sick, and they would take a verse from the Scripture, and that makes it better, right? The Ark of the Covenant is in the midst of us. That makes it better, right? No, wrong, unless God is there. So they were reading Scriptures backwards. It meant nothing. In fact, it was error. It was error to the nth degree, and you cannot trust that. In fact, people get other problems, demonic activity from things like that. And they wonder why. Then we wonder why people are being visited by these other things. If you hear, it is because of the Spirit of God is quickening His Word. He's imparting life. He makes it a living voice. We need a daily rhema. We need a daily word. 1 Samuel 4 is a story of those who lived by and were defeated by the five senses of the human experience. In contrast, the contrast being led by the rhema, the personal word of God. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sometimes I'll ask people who want to get baptized, I'll say, do you know that you are led by the Spirit of God? They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. In closing, Jesus left a strong example. And I'm going to read in Isaiah chapter 50. This is Jesus. This is the example of Jesus to us. He not only lived, but he preached. And he lived what he preached. Right? Don't you just hate that when a preacher doesn't live what he preaches? Bothers me too. And you know, sometimes I get really convicted, especially if I stumble, because it's really important. Here it is. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. That says Jesus. This is the picture of Jesus. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. Watch this. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Is there something we could gather from his example, right? He had the tongue of the learned, the words that he was going to speak. It says, morning by morning, he heard Father's voice coming to him. And often we see, or times we see in the Scripture where he went out early. He was going out early to be with his Father, and he was listening for the Father's voice. He was speaking in relationship with the Father. You want your life to change? I know you do. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to simply take the Word of God, your Bible with you, and go in a quiet place, maybe kneel in prayer and say something like this, Father, what do you have for me? I need my faith to become real. I want to get saved. One time I told a young man, you want to be saved. You want to know that you're saved. I said, you go alone with God today and you just wait until you hear his voice. That young man went home that afternoon and he did until he knew he was saved. That's his own testimony. A word that, and Jesus went about, the scripture says, doing good. He had words like unbelievable good words to people, the crowds, and to various people time and again. The way we wish we could speak, a word in season at this very moment. What should we say? Or you come, or somebody comes up to you and you hear the Spirit of God through that brother or sister. They speak a word in season because the Spirit of God had quickened some word to their own heart. They maybe don't even have a clue what they're doing, but you hear the Spirit of God speaking to you because they were doing what Jesus did, and they were listening to what Jesus said, and they had absorbed all that, and their ear was awakened, it says here, and they could speak then what they heard, and it brings life to us. He awakens me. He awakens my ear to hear as I learned. We think sometimes, just, you know what, if all I could do is maybe I just need to go to Bible college. That would do it. And you can go to Bible college. I think that could be great. Go to Bible college. No worries. I think that's a good idea. But when you're going to Bible college, don't miss this. Don't miss hearing personally from God, because I wish I had a university degree. Do you know that? I would love to have a university degree. When I'm sitting at my desk and I'm reading the balance sheet and my accountant has repeatedly told me how to analyze it, and I've had multiple accountants help me analyze that balance sheet, it's making more sense. But man, would it be good to have gone to university and I would tell you backwards, forwards, and sideways what the balance sheet means. And I think, I'll tell you what would happen. What will happen is, and I'll bless you who are going to Bible college in this way. You can go and get an education to the glory of God. That education can make your life simpler. You want to boil things down simply. You want to bring the gospel of Christ as simple as possible. And somebody has said that to make something simple, you have to make a complicated issue understandable, you have to make it simple. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part this morning in explaining how do you distinguish between truth and error, is to make it simple enough for us to understand. But this morning it is this simple, that we will listen to God, we'll open up his word, we'll work, wait on his confirmation, we'll have let the peace of Christ rule there, and we'll hear his voice morning after morning. We'll even ask him, we'll go into relationship. We are in relationship with Jesus where we ask things back and forth. He speaks. Maybe it's you're open to Psalm 34, and he's speaking to you, and you say, what do you mean, Father? Jesus is our Father, right? And he said, what are you meaning? What are you saying? Or you don't know what the day is going to hold, and you're saying to yourself, Father, what's going on today? I don't know what's coming up, but would you bring the right things into my life at the right time? Would you help me to see it the right time? There are times that I've seen it 10 minutes too late. But I'm pressing into relationship with God like Jesus had, so I don't have it 10 minutes too late. I have it at the right time. I'm praying for a friend right now, and he's influential in our community, actually. And he's the bishop, and we're becoming friends. And that's my prayer request this morning, for that you'd pray for me, that I could speak a word in season to him. We're good friends, and we speak about serious things. But you know, I could turn him away so fast, it wouldn't be funny, right? But the Spirit of God, he has a plan for our lives together. And I'm learning from him too, by the way. I love his gentleness. I love his honesty. I love his kindness. I love his shepherd's heart. He is a farmer. And though he has pigs, he's a much better shepherd than he is a pig farmer, I think. I think pigs are his secondary thing. But a shepherd, he has a shepherd's heart. So I'm challenged. He awakens me. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Do you see what's going on here? Jesus was with the Father speaking. And do you ever notice in your life that you just feel like resisting that thing? He didn't resist Father's will. There are some times I just feel it in my spirit, a resisting. But he says I wasn't rebellious. And if you want to get over those things, here's how you do it. Watch this one. This is a prophecy that was going to be fulfilled in his life in the next few years, or in that next year and whatever, 2-3 years. He says, and it's a prophecy, I give my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. How on earth are you going to do that? I walked by my bonfire the other day and I felt the heat because I was cleaning up. It bothers me when junk is not right on the bonfire and it falls out of the bin and the nails fall there. And you know what happens if you drive over those nails, you get flat tires. And if you like flat tires like I do, it bothers you when the things aren't quite in that fire. But that fire was hot. And I thought to myself, Lord, it would take an awful lot of grace. You'd have to give me something supernatural if somebody would someday chain me to a stake and burn me to death. Jesus was given something here that he could do this. He knew this was going to happen, and he had the power to avoid it. We might not have that power, but he also had the power to go through it. And that's what we're going to need, aren't we? My cheeks to those who plucked the beard, I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Those are some of the easy things. And I've gone through some of those, the shame and spitting myself. Those are much easier than some of the other ones, but they're also difficult. I gave, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. Jesus got his determination, the flintness. Something that is flint is hard. He had a determination, and he got that by applying himself, by a relationship with Father, by hearing Father's voice and understanding from the Word of God, by all those things. He had the confirmation, he had the peace in his heart, and he had the ability and the determination, the strength to go through everything that he had to go through. The results in your life can be from knowing the difference. Words of encouragement, like Jesus did. Isaiah 50, words of encouragement to give to others, words of encouragement to yourself, the Spirit of God speaking to you. Personal direction. Jesus had personal direction because he knew the difference between truth and error. He knew where to go. He knew the fellowship of the Father. He received strength and determination. Cultivate the habit of always hearing Father's voice first in your day and first in the lines of battle. Cultivate it every day. Here's a poem written by Francis Havergal, and it's written for the new year. I changed a few words. Standing at the portal. Standing at the portal of the opening day, words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. Spoken through the silence by our Father's voice. And see, that's it, right? The air is, it's loudly proclaimed, but it's in the silence of our Father's voice, tender, strong, and faithful, making us rejoice. I, the Lord, am with thee. Be thou not afraid. I will help and strengthen. Be thou not dismayed. Yea, I will uphold thee with my own right hand. Thou art called and chosen in my sight to stand. For the day before us, oh, what rich supplies for the poor and needy living streams shall arise. For the sad and sinful shall his grace abound. For the faint and feeble, perfect strength be found. He will never fail us. He will not forsake. His eternal covenant he will never break. Resting on his promise, what have we to fear? God is all sufficient for the coming year, or the coming day. Onward then, and fear not, children of day, for his word shall never, never pass away. God bless you to that end.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that. And what a powerful way to close there, that his word will never, never end. And that's, we're so thankful for something that solid and unchanging as the Word of God. It reminded me of a scripture in Isaiah chapter 8, where he says, "And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Should, you know, he encourages them to speak according to the word. If they don't speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them, even though they might claim to have a vision or a revelation of something. But if it doesn't mesh with and with the word of God, then it's deception. And I think that's one way that we can discern between truth and error, is that the Spirit of God will never contradict or work against, because the Spirit and the Word are one, and they'll always work together, and we can have discernment through that. Yesterday, had the opportunity to, with a few other believers, to go to a, what was it called in Kitchener? There was a psychic fair, and we were able to get inside. We had to pay a bit to get inside, but we just walked around the booths, and it was interesting. And then we would ask people, why are you coming? And again, it was, I'm looking for an answer. I'm looking for something. Some of them. One lady said that she's going because she wants to hear from a loved one who passed away. And so they would have these witches and wizards that would sit them on tables and they would try to get a word. And others were there because of a personal need. And it was interesting, the last time we walked through around the booth, I just started praying that God would block that in Jesus' name, that God would confound that wisdom and those, because they were going in for a reading. They wanted to get a reading of their life and some answer they were looking for, and started praying that God would intervene and just block that. And it was interesting, the first person we talked to after we came out, she came back out. We said, "What, did you get a reading?" And she said, "No, I couldn't get a reading today." And so we had the opportunity to share with different people how Jesus is the answer to what they're looking for, and praying for different people. It just stood out to me as Alan was sharing how we're looking for answers. Really, that's what it is. We're looking for an answer to that inner need, and we all seek answers in different ways because we want to know the solution to a problem. We want to know the answer to a need, and God is faithful to give us those answers and to provide a solution in whatever it is. I thought about many, many years ago, I was looking for a wife. And I was praying for a wife for quite a while. And I was asking God to lead me and guide me. And I remember one time someone speaking into my life and saying, you should get to know Suzanne. And this was at a Bible school. And I said, well, I've never met her. I don't know who she is. There's several hundred young people here. How do I go about doing this? And so I prayed. And I said, Lord, if this is of you, then you're going to have to arrange the meeting. Because even if I know who she is, I'm not going to go up and talk to a complete stranger. That would just be weird. And what would I say? I'm thinking God is leading us together. We want to get to know each other. Like, that's just weird. And so I said, Lord, if this word is from you, you're going to have to arrange the meeting. And it was 2 hours later. We're down there in the basement for supper, and we got our plates, and we sat down. And I look up, and right in front of me, right across the table, there's a lady sitting, not two people over this way or two people over, right smack in front of me. There's a lady sitting, and I looked at her name tag, and it said Suzanne Lapp. And I'm like, wow. You know, I'm in a situation now where it would kind of be awkward not to speak to her. And so we said hi. But you know, I could have gone away from there and said, man, God spoke. Like, God, this is a word from God. And I could have gone to her and said, God just showed me that we should get married, right? I didn't do that, thankfully. And in fact, it was not until a year later and several more clear confirmations. And see, God is willing for his word to us to be tested. Like, God, it's not wrong for us to test something and ask God for further confirmations on something. And I think God is faithful in doing that. The last and not least confirmation that God gave is that she also felt that God was in this and said yes. If she would have said no, then that would have been a confirmation that whatever happened may have just been coincidence. And so God is willing for us to test his word and confirm his word in different ways. We can trust him to do that. And what are the answers that you're looking for this morning? Are we trusting God that he is faithful to guide us, to lead us, and to confirm his word in us? Anyone else have anything they want to share? Just raise your hand and we'll get you a mic.